Hello. Well, I hope you're all going to be surprised by God. Yep. Well, since today's Mothering Sunday, I've based my talk on mothers, but that doesn't exclude the rest of you that are not mothers. That includes men and women. Yeah. Now, recently I spoke on equality, and I know the emphasis there was a lot on just more on women and just how God created us equal. And I raised up a very important person that was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the Bible has said, you know, she was blessed. And that's what it says, you know, she was blessed and she's important. Yeah, and she was a mother. And just Jesus himself was raised by Mary for a long, long time before he went into his ministry. And I suppose, probably like a lot of us nowadays, maybe one day it'll happen to us, our kids go away and they come back home again. You know, and so we have our kids longer than normal. Yeah. And yeah, your parenting never goes away. And as a mother, and now my mom goes on and on about being there for me, caring for my brother and I. But she's my mom, you know. Sometimes I don't have to do what she says, but she's still my mom. Yeah. And that's just this afternoon. I just want to just praise moms and just speak about how important that is. Even in the church, you know, we speak about God the Father, but being mothers in that is an aspect that comes from Jesus, that comes from God, you know, because if we are made in his image and everything that he is, we come out of that. There's got to be something in him that speaks about mothers. Now, I'm actually not speaking on Mary. I'm speaking on an Old Testament hero, on the mother of Moses. Very, very short passage in the Bible. So I would like, if anybody's could read it for me, please. Yeah, if we could just go to Exodus. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to actually start in Exodus 1 and just do a quick run through there, and then I want just someone to actually to read from Exodus 2, 1 to 10, after I just done this initial part. Now in Exodus 1, just a quick synopsis quickly. The Israelites had come to Egypt during the famine, you know, the story of Joseph, and they ended up really populating Egypt to such an extent that Pharaoh became scared because there just was too many of them. Of course, they were his subjects, and he used them to build whatever his Sphinx or whatever we might think they might have built, or his, you know, monuments as such. But they were becoming so many that he became afraid of them, and he decided, I've got a plan. Let's just do population control, and let's get rid of the children. Yeah. He had some midwives, he's organized, he said, you guys, when you go and get the children, can you just make sure you kill them off so they don't grow? But these midwives feared God, and they didn't do anything. And due to fearing God, God blessed them, and their own families grew. Yeah. And that was just the start of that. And of course, Pharaoh said, hey, what's going on? Let's change the plan. So I would like someone else, you know, change the plan, and he says, we're going to throw the children, the boys, not the girls, just the boys, into the River Nile. So if somebody can read for me Exodus 2 verses 1 to 10, please. Okay.
2:1-10. Exodus 2 verse 1 to 10. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying and felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water."
Thank you. Now, very short passage. Now, just quickly from the Israelites' viewpoint of how important the story is. According to history, when Moses was born, there was an amazing light during his birth, and they knew that he was someone special. Yep. And that also, because of that, yeah, it all pointed towards what the Egyptian astrologers at the time were saying, that a liberator is going to be born around this time in Egypt, because the Israelites have been crying out for years and years for God to deliver him from Pharaoh. And this is actually, like you say, very much a mix of Israel's history and even the Egyptians' understanding. And we all know from, if you ever watch anything about the Egyptian astrologers, at the time they were one of the foremost astrologers in the world, you know, at the time. They knew the stars and that signs to look for. And they believed that this was going to happen. And of course, he would be of a Jewish or an Egyptian descent. They didn't know where he was going to come from. Yeah. And of course, Pharaoh being told about all of this, and I said, you know, it came down to the fact that Pharaoh decided, he was scared about what they're going to do. Are they going to rise up against him? Are they going to believe this prophecy that the someday, liberator is going to be born at this time? So, of course, the best way to get rid of it, she can't be a woman. It's got to be a boy. Let's get rid of all of them. The first plan didn't work. Plan two. Let's throw them all into the Nile. Yeah. And then, of course, it goes on and then talks about Moses being saved by the Pharaoh's daughter. Then he grows up, you know, and of course, is the whole history of how he's being raised up. And even to the point in the, this is in the Jewish history, with Moses, when he was in Pharaoh's court as a young boy. Now, this relates to him later in the story, that when Pharaoh sees him and he comes up and he's in the Pharaoh's court, and the Pharaoh comes and he sees the boy, and he goes and his jewels all around on there. And of course, his fellow, advisors all around him, sees his little boy coming there. And of course, they were afraid that Pharaoh was going to lose his crown, because they're very superstitious about someone else touching the throne and touching the jewels of the Egyptian Pharaoh. So of course, they go and they say, you know, if somebody, the boy goes and he grabs in his jewels, he's got to die, blah, blah, blah. And then of course, they said, Moses goes and he's on his way. And before he actually gets to touch there, God kind of steers him away, and he grabs hold of a glowing coal, you know, and he puts it to his lips, so he burns his hand and his tongue. And of course, that's the other history of why Moses got the speech impediment. You know, that's just the history. It's amazing when you read just the history of sometimes how the Israelites record the history. You know, the light of Moses being when he was born, the fact that the Egyptians had astrologers had pointed at this time, it was going to be important liberator. And of course, even to the fact that he had this speech impediment of how all the story fits. Yeah. But getting back to what the Bible says, you know, in regard to that, here was a woman, her name was Jochebed. Yeah. And she was a Levite. Now, we know how important the Levites become. They become the priests, and it only happens during the Exodus when Moses leads them through the desert. That's when they become the priests. At this point, there's no priests. Yeah. They believe in God, but there's no appointed priest at the time. Yeah. God calls them out, calls the Levites out during that Exodus. But during this time, now a husband, yeah, married, he was a Levite. Jochebed was actually the daughter of Levi. Her husband was the son of her brother. So he married his auntie. Now, being very much that priest calling was important bit of history, how that all dovetailed, how important Jochebed was. You know, she's come from a family, those that came originally from the line of the line of Israel, the Levites became important down the line as priests. So just the history of who Jochebed was, sometimes as you would say, the purest of the pure, the Levite bloodline, that's where Moses came from. Now, in as far as Jochebed's come, just start with just her accomplishments. Firstly, she's the mother of Moses, biggest character in the Old Testament. Then, of course, she's the mother of Aaron, who becomes the high priest, the first high priest of Israel, the Levites. And she's the mother of Miriam. So her children were Miriam the eldest, Aaron second born, and Moses the youngest. Now, in regards to just that whole thing of Moses' birth, when she gave birth, how can you hide a child for 3 months? Everybody must have known she was pregnant. Yeah. And of course, you had those midwives that Pharaoh had appointed to make sure what was happening there. Even though they were on the side of the Israelites and God blessed them, yeah. But how can you hide a child for 3 months? The only way it could possibly happen, if she had help. Everybody in the community knew about it, you know. Anybody would have been, because you can't not miss being pregnant. Yeah, yeah. And of course, at the time, yeah, you can. Well, I don't know. But I mean, it's like I said, it's a small community, you know, at the time. But 3 months, she hid him. How she did it, right? The Bible doesn't explain, doesn't give any details. But just a minute. Now, does that indicate that there was a general kind of idea that that's what moms did? Tried to hide their sons? But only this one is related in the story because of it's Moses. Yeah. But she managed to do that for 3 months. Now, nothing in the story talks about God coming to Jochebed and saying, do this. They were the subjects of Pharaoh. You know, they came in under Joseph, came there, lived in Israel, and they were Pharaoh's people. Yeah. And Pharaoh declared, your children, your boys, put them, chuck them in the river Nile. Yeah? So, to one degree, she was disobeying the ruler of the time. But you say, but how can I go about killing my child? Is that against whatever? But just to be reminded, you know, they weren't just castaway people. They were Pharaoh's people. They were under his rule. When they came under Joseph, they came and they lived in Egypt as part of Pharaoh's people. Now, based on that, being able to protect a child and keep it hidden for 3 months, she trusted God. She trusted God. I don't know about you, but at the time, in the previous chapter, when it talked about those midwives and those midwives that feared God, people had a sense of who God was already. They know the history of Joseph. They knew who Joseph was. They knew Joseph had the dreams. You know, Joseph had guided them out through that the famine. As such, Egypt knew who Joseph was. He was a important person. I mean, recently, I was listening to the radio, and there was a, what do you call these guys that go back to, historian. Yeah. And he went to Egypt, and he found some sculptures, and he recognized the sculpture and says, "That's Joseph." He just said so. He said, based on all the history and all the facts that he's got written down, he says, "That is a sculpture of Joseph." Yeah, and he says, Egyptologist, whatever they called, yeah, they got it slightly wrong. Okay, he's got them all, what's the name, going all crazy because of what he said. But he's a world-known historian, yeah, English historian, and he's done lots of things. And he just says, as far as I can go through all the history and stuff, this is it. And I went there and I found this statue, and the statue is according to all historical documents, this is the likeness of Joseph. So Joseph was a very important person. Yeah. So people knew about him. Egypt knew about him. So the Israelites were there because of the famine. And now Egypt, Pharaoh's people, and they were given this rule and said, your child, born male, throw it into the Nile. We know what's going to happen. Either they get drowned or crocodiles. As my wife reminded me, crocodiles, yeah. They're not going to survive, yeah. And this Jezebel said, I'm trusting God. For 3 months, she was managed to hide him. Now it came to the point, she says, I can't hide anymore. And I've got to do what the Pharaoh says. And this is where a faith goes even deeper. This is, we talk about Jezebel's faith again. She was going to put him into the Nile, but she was going to do it slightly differently and put him in a basket. Now, it's interesting in the Bible, that little basket that she creates, the Jewish language has got a word for that basket. She made it, she covered it in tar or whatever to make it waterproof. Yeah, and so there, and she stuck it in. And the word is called an ark. It's actually, the Jewish word for that basket is called the ark. And you read things like that and you just think, hold it. There's so much similarities in this little thing. You know, we talk about what's in the great flood and the ark. And here she goes, and they use the same word for that basket that she puts Moses in, and she sticks him into the river. Well, she's followed the Pharaoh's rules, didn't she? She put her son in the river. Yeah. Might not have been to plan, but she did it. Yeah. She followed the rule of the time, and she put him in the river. So yeah, now putting him in the river. It says, among the reeds. I've never been to Egypt. I understand that the River Nile is a huge river. And the place where they were living around towards that part of the Nile, it gets quite wide and it gets to multiple tributaries. So it kind of just splits into all these going towards the sea. By that time, it's already wide. From all the TV, all the footage I've seen, the river is fairly wide even before it gets there, and then it starts splitting up. And guys, and that's of course when the reeds come, when it starts going to those areas. So it was a big river, and of course, usually when you find reeds in those areas, that's usually where the crocodiles are, because it's a good hiding place. Yeah, and there, and they're, so to one extent, putting him in a basket among the reeds, good idea or not? Yeah, but she did it. She did what Pharaoh asked, and she followed his rules. Yeah. But her faith was in the God they believed. Now, in as much as, you know, that story about giving up your child, she had two other children. Yeah, this was the third one, this was the youngest one. Was he any more special than the others? According to Jewish historians, they're thing about the special light, and that they think differently. They think he was recognized then as being that one based on the Egyptian astrologers, because at the time of his birth he was an important character. But just I look at that story and I think, here's a mom was being a mother no matter what, be it a first, second or third child. He was just as important, and she was going to do everything she can to protect her child. She had a daughter, and she had a son. A lot of people say, if you've got both son and daughter, you've made it. Yeah, you got both into the scale. Yeah. But a third child, Moses, was just as important. She couldn't save him, but she trusted God, put him in there. Who told her to put it into a basket and cut it, covered with tar to make sure it doesn't sink? I don't know. Nothing in the Bible says anything. It just says she does this and puts it in the reeds. Yeah. Now, the next part of the story is also just carry on the whole thing of her faith in God. Who, I mean, did anybody give her a kind of a plan of saying, at this time, Pharaoh's daughter will be at this time in this place, and this is where you put it in? Yeah, I'm assuming that if it's anything like any royalty in any country, that especially for a woman at the time, there'd be lots of security. There'd be an area kept safe. She's going to bathe in the river where there's lots of crocodiles. They would have made sure it's a clear area. They made sure there's no one there, no male around, nothing. You know, this is Pharaoh's daughter. The security's got to look after her. How they managed to get there in that particular place, I'm not even going to speculate. It just happens to be, as the story's written, there, Pharaoh's daughter turns up and finds this basket in the reeds. Now, for a lot of us in our own lives, we sometimes do that. We can get into circumstances and we put things out and we say, Lord, I'm going this far. Why? Because you can't go any further. You can't do any more. You have got to trust God now and just put that basket in the water and trust God. How she felt as a mother putting her son there, she thought that I'm never going to see him again. He's going in the river, that's it. I know as a parent, I'll be very scared and thinking, if I lose my child, you know. But if I think of it, if it was any other part of my family, would I react the same? And I say, yes, I would. You know, a family member, I'm having to give them up, or them, or just killed him myself. How does a mother feel about that? Like I said, it's important. And today, that whole thing of Mothering Sundays is an important aspect of just honoring mothers, because you bear the children. We as fathers, as men, we just kind of alongside, hopefully to support you as best as we can, but you bear them, yeah? I don't think we as men will be able to handle the pain by a long, long way. You know, I know that pain is something I don't look forward to. I run away. But she gave birth to him, she hid him for 3 months, and now she had to give him up to the river. Put him in, trust God. I find that the little aspect of that story about Miriam standing in the reeds did Jezebel tell Miriam, you stay in the reeds and you watch? Or did Miriam decide it on her own? The Bible doesn't give you an idea of, there, it just says, you know, Miriam stays in the reeds, watches it over on that and there, because Jezebel disappears off, she's not around. Yeah. As the story goes on, you'll find out what happens there. Sometimes in life, in as much as we trust God, sometimes we've got to trust other people in our lives as well. She would have walked away and knew that Miriam didn't come back with her, knew that Miriam was staying behind. We are living, there was a time where maybe women just didn't walk around on their own. You know, it's quite a thing. And if you've ever been to Egypt, now, just the way how men treat women, women are very, got to be very careful when they walk alone as such. Maybe that history has come through the ages. But, you know, a young girl, Miriam, on her own, probably far away from the home, on the river, a mom knew she wasn't with. Where was Miriam? Did Miriam stay behind? Yeah. So she had to trust Miriam and say, well, I'm going to leave it and see what comes from that. And sometimes in our lives we can trust God, but sometimes God put other people in our place, put other people alongside us, and sometimes we have to trust other people as well. God is about community, God is about family, and God can do everything on his own for us, but he works in such a way we have to do, we have to work with family. People come alongside us and they encourage us, and they can be our strengths. And that's what Jezebel had to do. She not only trusted God, but she trusted God for her daughter to be safe and to see what was going on. Now, nothing else gets said about Jezebel in important, really, a matter. The only big thing is Miriam finds the Pharaoh's daughter, finds the basket. Miriam acts brave, turns up, says, can I find somebody to, what's the word called when the babies wean it? That's it, to wean the little one. There. And she goes and gets Jezebel, and she's got 2 years to look after her son, to see him grow up. I get paid for it as well. Yeah. So it's an amazing story. She gets 3 months initially, and then God gives her 2 years to see a boy grow up. Yeah. He doesn't get a name from Jezebel. His name gets given by Pharaoh's daughter. And of course, we know what the name means. The passage says, you know, came out of the water, I drew him out of the water, and that's what Moses means. I've got quite a few friends that have adopted children. I don't know, is it something maybe Gail and I look down at in the future, say, would we consider adopting somebody? Because there's just so many children out there without parents, you know. Does it feel for Jezebel that she had to give her son up initially at 3, but thinking they'd never survive? He comes back, she gets 2 years with him, but now it's almost like giving up for adoption, because she knows where he's going. You know that she's going to be raised up in Pharaoh's court. Yeah. But can you teach your child anything during that first 2 years that's going to stick with him? Yeah. I know that of the first 2 years, I look at my kids, I think how different they are now to what they were when they were small. You know, maybe, you know, God saying, could she have taught him anything regarding the Jewish customs or anything like that? Or was she allowed? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, like you say, just the culturally of the history through songs and that. Yeah, we know how important how song is. You know, it's one of those things that's put a song in somebody's mind. It kind of just kind of keeps coming back and back, and there, and it builds history. And there, but this was a man, young boy, destined to be in Pharaoh's court. He was destined to do great things, not for Pharaoh, but for God. Jehoshaphat had a small part to play in his long life. We know that Moses messed up in Pharaoh's court by killing an Egyptian. He had to run away. Ended up being in the desert for how long? 40 years before he actually get called back to be the deliverer that the astrologers kind of, the liberator that they kind of saw in the stars so many years back. Without Jehoshaphat's faith in God for the 3 months and then giving him up to the Nile, but having the sense of putting him in a basket and putting him in that particular place, where it just so happens to be where Pharaoh's daughter comes and bathes. Given the opportunity to raise him for 2 years, but knowing that she had to give him up, she had to trust him again, say, well, he's going to grow up now. He's not dead, but he's going to grow up in Pharaoh's court. Is it one day he's going to see me and not recognize who I am? Is he going to look down on his fellow Israelites? All those things that probably could have gone through her mind. I know as a child, over the years, my parents taught me loads of different things. Maybe more so my mom than my dad, because just being my mom, certain things, oh, sit right. What's the name? Clean up. Or use your cutlery correct way, you know, or listen, don't do that, don't do that. You know, she didn't give that opportunity. He was only, what, 2 and a bit when he left. There's not much response to orders he's really going to be taking, yeah? Maybe 1 or 2, but not really seeing him grow up and bolt those things into his life. But all she could do as a mother was give birth to him, see him come through his stages of being a little baby, where he was strong enough, health system kicks in, natural system kicks in, so he can be healthy. Because at that time, they didn't have NHS. Yeah, so she couldn't run around the doctors and say, my son is sick. Yeah. They had to just trust in their own immune system and basically raise him up. Jehoshaphat, the mother of Moses, is such a huge character in the Old Testament because of who she is. She was Miriam's mom. She was Aaron's mom, who became the high priest of Israel. And most importantly, she was the mother of Moses, who became the liberator, the one that led them out of Israel. And the one that a lot of the Old Testament initially, all this, the laws and that, and the one that spoke to God, it came from Jehoshaphat. Nothing else gets said about her. But I think just that is more than enough to speak about how important this mother was. Now, her trials and tribulations, I don't want you to look at and think, well, they were unique because of who she was. And it was just a timing factor that God was going to raise up this particular young boy, Moses, and this is what his plan was. I think sometimes we've got to look at it thinking, she had to trust God in so many different ways. She had to trust God that after the birth, he was protected for 3 months. Then she thought she lost him. Came back, had 2 years with him, and then she had to trust God again that he was going to go away. I remember earlier when I said about the astrologers, they didn't know if the liberator was going to be a Jew or an Egyptian. Well, the fact was he was both, wasn't he? Yeah. He was a Jew, but he grew up to be an Egyptian prince. So how right were they? They were spot on, yeah. Now, God puts lots of things in our lives, and especially to mothers, and I want to praise mothers, because you put things in our lives and you give things to your children that men cannot do. That men cannot do. The world will make us believe otherwise, but we know that mothers are so important. And on this day, Mothering Day, we want to just praise women and just say, thank you. Thank you for being mothers. And sometimes it doesn't have to apply if you have children of your own or not. I know for my boys, when they go wherever and they are around family, be it in the church or wherever, and people they know, for us to feel comfortable, our boys are looked after, you know, be it a single young woman or a mother or grandmother or great-grandmother, whoever, you know. That's important for us, you know. Our children feel safe. Jezebel had to trust God, and then she had to trust those that God had placed who was going to look after her son. She trusted Miriam and left her aside to see what's going to happen to Moses in that basket. Then she is going to trust Pharaoh's daughter in raising a son. He was still a son. You can't take that away. He was still her son. She was still the mother of Moses. I don't know if she ever sees him in later life or whatever aspect. Nothing is said about that. No, but that's not the point of the story. The point of the story of who was Jezebel and what did she do and whom did she trust? You know, no story is ever the same. Our lives are so different. And for the mothers that we praise today, each of our lives are so different. Your stories of how you raise your kids and those children, what they mean to you, they can all mean the same thing, but your children you're raising them are so different. God has placed all of us on this earth with a purpose in him. And all the songs you've been singing earlier, you know, about God's plan for our lives and those things he works out to you. As mothers, your lives are so important, not only to your children, but to those around you. In a church, people look and they see how we together are just a family, and be it to your own children or those in the church, you know, I want to praise you and I want to say thank you. I mean, I'm most fortunate. I have a wife, I've got children, yep. And I say thank you that my boys have got a mother, because they will struggle with me as a father if I was on my own. So Father, we want to say thank you, Lord, just for mothers, Lord. And Lord, I'm not talking about those that are just married, those that have children of their own, Lord. I want to talk about women in general, just you've placed an instinct in their lives and their hearts, Lord, to just trust, Lord, and believe in you for their children, Lord, for those around you, Lord. Father, Your grace is sufficient. And just for Jochebed, Lord, everything she went through, Lord, as a mother with Moses, Lord, we know how important Moses is, Lord, or how important Moses was and what he means to the nation of Israel, Lord. But more important, Lord, we know how important Moses is for us here today, Lord, because out of that line, out of the coming out of Israel, Lord, and having to travel through the wilderness, Lord, through the desert, Lord, for so many years, leading all those people, Lord, eventually, Lord, raising up the Lord, the high priest, Lord, raising up the priest of Israel, Lord. What a history Jochebed had from our Lord. Miriam, Aaron, Moses. I pray, Lord, that for each woman here today, Lord, they would see such history out of their lives, Lord. Their children, others in the church, Lord. Those that might come in one day, they will be discipled, Lord, in every aspect, Lord. Their children within as Christians, Lord. So we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for mothers. Amen.